ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Hey, everybody. This is David Fleming. We are here today in Nashville talking to All-Pro long snapper Morgan Cox about the art and science of one of the most important, I think, skills and crafts in football, long snapping. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. To kind of probably oversell the importance of long snapping as it's gotten more and more specialized. You know, the NFL has a humongous premium on points, especially, you know, this year. I think how many games have been decided within one score. And we've seen now with when you miss an extra point, how much that changes the game and how it's played. Long snappers are important, you know, the skill and precision that's required is
the phrase that it's a game of inches is not a cliche. It's an exaggeration. It's actually probably less than that.
Less than that. Yeah.
Do you want to try one? Am I taking my life in my own hands or
no? Okay. I'll make sure it's.
Well, you know what? If you injure me, it's better for the pod.
Okay.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
In the NFL postseason, the difference between immortality and unemployment can be measured in centimeters. And for all of our obsessing over quarterbacks and coaches and even kickers, no player embodies that margin of error more than the one you probably think about the least, the long snapper. So today, Dave Fleming takes us inside the secret life of football's ultimate specialist, and what the world looks like when you're bent over, peering backwards, with an entire season dangling between your legs. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, January 20th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Dave Fleming, you have showed us the underbelly, the secret history of so many topics on this podcast, whether it's poop or the Pottsville Maroons and the Cardinals curse. But this episode is about something different in the world of football. What is this job that you've exhaustively detailed for us here?
It's another in a long line of sports fascinations that everyone, it happens all the time and it's crazy, but nobody ever talks about it. It is the art and science of long snapping.
So I feel like we even need to explain, Dave, like what a long snapper even is, let alone how you got interested in this thing.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you how I got interested into it. One day I'm watching a game after what, 20 some odd years doing this full time. And I'm like, that guy's upside down.
I mean, I don't want to inquire about your sobriety on tape, Dave, but it does feel like a thought you have when there is something else that's opening your third eye here.
Exactly. I yelled at the television and I'm like, does anyone else understand that this guy is playing football upside down? I'm like, that's crazy. And so me yelling at the TV is usually how half my ideas come about.
Yeah. And for me, I suppose, like the last time I even heard about long snapping, thought about it at all, was because like Bill Belichick went on this soliloquy about this season. This is a man who is warmed by nothing. He laughs at nothing. But this was this moment that opened my ears.
Yeah, it's funny. It happened just at the same time that I realized how crazy and how crucial and critical this position is. Bill Belichick goes into his press conference where he literally has summed up entire games in five words. You know,
yes. He's mumbling. We're on to Cincinnati. Do your job. That's generally four words and out, if that.
Exactly. I'm thinking like at Thanksgiving dinner, Bill Belichick probably speaks 11, 12 words total. And when someone brought up the art and the importance of long snapping, he talked passionately and eloquently and enthusiastically about long snapping for 9 minutes. And that's when it was like, oh, we got to look into this.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty tough position. And You know, nobody knows or cares who the snapper is and knows a bad snap, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a front page story. So then that gets into whether you're a blind snapper and you look at the rush and just snap the ball, or whether you're a look back snapper and snap it, and then after the snap you have to look up and recognize what's happened and make the proper block. But again, it's
Bill Belichick basically, by his standards, records an audiobook about this thing. So, okay, you want to go on your own journey into what actually goes into being a long snapper. You wanted to spend a day with one of these mysterious, obscured people. So who did you find and what did you want to know?
Well, I wanted to know everything. I wanted to know the thought process, the kinetics, the physical things that you have to do, the challenges, the mental side. And so I just started looking around and I realized that the Titans have a long snapper. He is the first ever All-Pro long snapper. His name is Morgan Cox. And when he was with the Ravens, they nicknamed their place kicking group the Wolf Pack. And that's when I emailed Eve, our producer, and said, "We found our guy."
I've just always said that, like, I could probably walk through the stadium in my helmet and jersey and pads and everything, and everybody would be like, "Why are you wearing number 46? Like, thinking that I'm a fan or whatever. So I get to be in the NFL. I get to be in the locker room, friends with all these guys, but still get to, you know, go be a normal person.
It's funny how you know within, like, three questions if you pick the right guy.
Yes.
Morgan mentioned almost immediately that he knows to get the ball and the laces where they need to be on a field goal.
If I know where Brett is, my holder, and I know where he's going to catch it, then I've just got to create the same distance between him and me so that when I let go of the ball, it's there are going to be three and a quarter rotation, so that when he catches it, the laces will land in his right hand and he just sets it down on the spot.
And that was another moment where I was like, this is the right guy.
So in terms of the physics, the mechanics of long snapping, Dave, I know there are people who watch football all the time, but I don't know if even they could accurately describe, like, what it is the long snapper's responsibilities are. So what do they do?
Yeah, right. The long snapper for dummies version is on extra points, field goals, and punts that he's the center on those plays, and he basically has to snap the ball back to either the punter or the holder on field goals. And it's funny, just to give you an idea of the mentality of long snappers, the best ones, you never hear their name, because the only time you hear about a long snapper is if they totally screw up.
The motto to start off with is, you want to go unnoticed, otherwise you're not doing your job correctly. Because you really, like, that's always been my attitude. It's like, I just want people to forget my name because I've done my job so well, the ball's just there. And they just expect that it's just there all the time.
But invisibility does not mean a lack of responsibility, right? It's almost the opposite. I mean, it is so essential that that particular cog in the machine goes right. Because if it doesn't, Dave, like, what happens?
Well, you know, the way Morgan Cox put it was, Patrick Mahomes can throw two interceptions in a Super Bowl win. Nobody bats an eye. No one cares. But if a long snapper in the Super Bowl has two bad snaps, that dude is an instant meme, and he's working at Dairy Queen the rest of his life.
It is the definition of that Belichickian do your job ethos, right? You only have one job. It is to do this. They are the specialist of specialists. All of which leads me to wonder, like, for Morgan Cox, the all-pro long snapper you met with, how did he even get into this? How did he begin to want to long snap?
I imagine his origin story is very similar to most long snappers. It was a guy, by his own admission, who wanted to play football, wanted to contribute, wanted to get on the field, and realized, hey, nobody else raised their hand when the coach asked for long snappers. I mean, you know, I could get a varsity letter for long snapping.
What I do remember is my dad telling me, you know, this is, even at 11 years old, he's like, this is a niche spot. You could, you know, play on the team for a long time. Like, and I'd still argue that I'm still not a good athlete. But it was a way for me to have a specialization where I could be a part of the team.
I think long snappers come to this profession the exact same way you and I do, where you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know you could do that.
Right. No, I mean, what you're describing is a level of savvy and almost like market sensibility, right? Like, oh, wait a minute. It's a lot easier to do that thing than it is to do this thing. And it turns out they're hiring for that thing.
Exactly. And his parents were so shocked that he got an offer to walk on at the University of Tennessee.
The coaches there at Tennessee took notice, and I got a call, which my parents still have on their voicemail, where the coach from Tennessee called and said they wanted to recruit me. And like that, I can't really express, I don't really know how to like put into words how foreign that was for my family.
Well,
and
the look on your face sort of describes it. You're still sort of in disbelief.
But he shows up to the University of Tennessee, which is a football powerhouse, right? Like, they're a legit SEC school. What's it like when Morgan the long snapper shows up in Knoxville?
He right away learned what long snapping is really all about.
I went to Tennessee. I walked on. At the time that I walked on, there were, I think, 8 long snappers on the team. And they gave us all a chance and said, like, hey, we're going to keep 2 of you guys. And so lined us all up. You know, and there's a lot of pressure in that. Like, you know, I'm really excited to have my, you know, be able to wear the power tee growing up in Tennessee and stuff. So I really wanted to do well. And I did, got to stay on the team.
And Morgan, several times during the interview, kept saying, are you sure you really want to know this? He's like, no one's ever asked me this. Like, we're going into the weeds. Are you sure you want to go in the weeds?
The hallmark, by the way, of any good Dave Fleming interview is that question.
And with me going, oh, dude, we're in the sweet spot. Keep going. Like, more details. And it's incredible that somebody could perform this task in front of sometimes 110 million people, and no one asks him how he holds the ball, or why he puts his feet there, or where you let go of the ball, or how you grip it, or how fast it needs to go, or how quickly the ball's got to come out. And people in Morgan's position jump at the chance to talk about their craft because they're really proud of it.
I think of my arms as like a pendulum. You have to pick the ball up a little bit in order to just clear the ground. But I start the pendulum there. And so like once the pendulum swings through, you know, at the bottom of a pendulum is the fastest, most efficient time to let go of the ball. And so when I let go of the ball.
Well, the specifics on here are kind of staggering because it seems like he's gamed this out such that it's a matter of decimal points and degrees.
Yeah. He was an accounting major at Tennessee. And when you talk to him about long snapping, that definitely comes across. Because he knows that he has between 0.7 and 0.75 seconds to get the ball from his hand into the holder's hand. He knows that the ball's got to travel at 35 miles per hour to make that happen. And he knows that the whole thing, the ball has to be off the kicker's foot in 1.3 seconds. So you talk about, we joked about this with him. I'm like, the game's not a game of inches. And he's like, no, it's millimeters. He's like, if that snap is even a little bit off center and the holder has to sort of reach for it and place it, that you're at 1.5 seconds, it's a blocked field goal, Super Bowl's over.
Right, he lives for these sudden bursts of movement. And how do you even practice that specific sudden burst of movement?
I love the fact that Super Bowls and careers and billions of dollars comes down to a position where Morgan, basically in college, practiced by taping a square on a wall and taping himself while he snapped hundreds and thousands of times to perfect his technique.
I had a padded wall when I was at Tennessee, and I'd make a little box out of tape. And I took a stool and my iPhone, and I'd just take 5 balls out there and I'd snap them into that thing. And then I'd sit on the stool and watch what I'd just done and, you know, change this or that. Or like, oh, that was a good snap. What did I do there in order to do better?
All right, Flem, after the break, it's time to follow Morgan Cox's trajectory from Tennessee to the NFL.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Dave, it's important to note that, like, when teams are scouting, they're not spending a lot of time on long snappers. I believe that there have been 7 drafted now in 15 years. And Morgan Cox, like, how does he wind up in the NFL?
Unless you catch Bill Belichick's eye, because I think he may be the only guy in the last several years to draft a long snapper, your route to the NFL, if you're a long snapper like Morgan Cox, unrestricted free agent, beat out somebody in training camp.
So he winds up with the Baltimore Ravens beating out his competition about 12 years ago. What is a day in the life of Morgan Cox like? What is a game day in the life of Morgan Cox like?
You know, literally, it starts before the game with the preparation of the kicker balls. The NFL allows teams 45 minutes to prep the footballs any way they like, and kickers usually like them completely smoothed down so that they're not tacky or there are no more bumps or anything like that.
There's a certain technique on how they do kicking balls like this. They'll take the back of the brush and basically grind down all of these dimples.
Wait, so the NFL, for those unfamiliar, they allow teams to have a totally different set of balls just for kicking.
Yep, and they will mark them with a K, and then a ball boy usually will literally rub out all those. If you've ever held a football, it's sort of tacky, right? Gives you some grip.
Well, kickers, those dimples.
Exactly. Kickers like those to be completely eliminated, and so the ball becomes incredibly slippery, but it's far more aerodynamic.
And so they'll get them wet, and then grind them down, and then polish them out and stuff, and so. Yeah, you talk about an art form.
And that's the way kickers like it, which actually makes Morgan's job more difficult.
And just to be very clear about this, dealing with a baby's bottom smooth football, it's hard to hold, right?
It's nearly impossible. And think about, what if there's any kind of weather? That ball, and it's actually, again, light bulb moment during this interview. I'm like, we make fun of kickers trying to throw the ball or broken plays and guys can't get the ball on their hands. Well, now we know it's because these balls are like, it's like ice trying to hold one of these footballs.
Yes, it's like a prank that is being played on them by the sport itself that they play.
Exactly. And again, that might be why Morgan is so obsessed with grip and with holding the football.
I do actually kind of have a little OCD, I guess. Like, I can't really use hand lotion because I hate the feeling of not being, like, ready to snap a ball at any given time.
He says even in April, if someone offers him hand moisturizer, he turns it down because he wants to be able to grip a football at any second.
I know there's no game, you know, anywhere close or anything like that. For whatever reason, just like, I have to get my hands back to where I could snap a ball like right away. It's just like a mental oddity that I have.
And he's been that way for the last 12 years.
So Morgan is clearly desperate, Flem, to find any kind of edge, literal and figurative in this case, even in the offseason. And it seems like that search, it does extend to his relationship with the referees, which sounds like a surprisingly enormous part of this job.
Yeah, so when he gets on the field, the first thing he does is he goes to the referee who places the ball. And he tells the guy, I didn't know this either. He tells the guy, I didn't even know you could do this. Which way and how he wants the ball placed at the line of scrimmage. And Morgan basically does that because one of the indicators for him that he's got the right grip is the valve or the nozzle on the football. He likes to feel that in like the top of the palm of his right hand. And when he feels that, he knows he's going to get a good snap. But I honestly, we've done entire stories and segments and pods about quarterbacks and their grips. Long snappers are 1,000 times more obsessed about their grips than quarterbacks are.
Usually the referee and I talk about it before the game, like, hey, how do you want the ball set up? And I usually say, you know, put the ball down where the valve is on the left side of the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I understand now, because the Cowboys just famously reminded us of this, that the referee's job there is to set the ball before the snap. That is a dynamic that is so fraught and delicate. And I imagine for Morgan, like, he has to, like, befriend them in some sense.
Yeah, because it's really up to that guy. I mean, he's like, look, I can snap it any way, under any conditions, I'm fine. But the way I prefer it is nozzle. It would be on the, he even said, he's like, nozzle on the referee's left, which so that it will end up in my, the palm of my right hand. Then I was like, what do you do with your left hand? And it's basically like, we talked a lot about Steph Curry as far as like simplified mechanics and how those are the most repeatable without error, the more simple you go. But the way he described it was, I use my left hand like a waiter holds a heavy dish tray, sort of with fingertips and sort of palm underneath.
Well, atop that dish tray rests sometimes like a team season. And so what does he do when he's not doing that? What does he do in between his grand moments of high stakes life or death movement?
He's really doing the most important job of a long snapper, which is trying not to think about long snapping. And he mentioned they're doing the math on the sidelines. It's like, okay, the ball's at the 40. We're down by two. We're going to kick to win this game in about 45 seconds of clock time. So they're sort of running through it, but he's also at the same time trying to stay loose. And so that's why you see long snappers are usually the best guys on the sidelines with bouncing the ball, spinning the ball, talking to fans. You know, they've got their whole ritual to not think about what they should be thinking about.
And what he has to think about changes as soon as he does that job, right? As soon as he snaps the ball at 35 miles an hour, and given all these other specifications that we've outlined here, the play does not end. In fact, the play is just beginning, and suddenly Morgan Cox has totally changed roles and is now alongside all the other maniac giants on the field who are trying to chase down this punt returner by any means possible.
Right.
So I'll get you to kind of set up like you're snapping the ball.
Okay. Let's see, you had your foot
widen
there.
Widen out a little bit. Yeah, widen out a little bit. So what offensive linemen will do is they'll set up like this on you, where we're overlapped.
Okay.
And like if you look through, kind of like look through like you're looking through the holder,
uh-huh,
you can see all those. Like
everything's
his,
upside down.
His upside down. But you can see his foot. Like you have to, they have to think about where,
okay,
where the ball is traveling in between his, the two offensive linemen, because you've got two on either side.
And I screamed this to Morgan. I was like, oh my God, on top of that, you're supposed to recover, block for a second, and then run down and cover punts?
And I want to be very fair to Morgan Cox here, because he, for a long snapper, is great at this part of the job too. I mean, he is very proud, Fleb, it sounds like, that he averages one tackle per season, which would add up to, I'm doing the math here, yes, 12 tackles in 12 years.
This is one of those things, if you invented long snapping and tried to trick a friend and gave them the definition, they'd go, oh, hell no, that's not real.
What's a weather war story that Morgan Cox has in terms of him succeeding in the playoffs despite stuff that, again, like none of us have ever cared about or paid attention to?
I think this is really interesting. He's got, like Michael Jordan, his own flu game, and it happened in Denver, negative 15 degrees a few years ago in the playoffs at altitude, which is already a long snapper's worst nightmare. And he's got the flu.
I remember there was a delay. We ended up being on the plane for like close to 9 hours. I had the flu going out there, and ended up, we landed at the hotel. I went straight to my room, got my own room, and slept for like 11 hours before that game. But like going into the game,
I had to get an IV, and I remember one of our offensive guards looks at me. He's like, "Why are you getting an IV right now?"
So he needs IVs, and you know, his teammates are giving him a hard time in the locker room before the game because he's hooked up to an IV just to make it out onto the field.
Really close. You're wondering about the strength of Justin Tucker's leg. He has a 56-yard field goal, a 54-yard field goal, and two from 51 this year.
Justin Tucker actually went out on the field during the changeover from one period to the other and kicked the ball.
And Champ Bailey had that. What's up with that?
You sit on a heated bench next to a giant jet engine for a heater, and then you've got this cape over. You can really like kind of get yourself in trouble, like where you start sweating. And then what I remember, I kind of made that mistake, is as soon as I threw that cape off, all that sweat just freezes on you.
This would send Baltimore to the AFC Championship game.
Does Foxy call a timeout here? I hate to say icing, as cold as it is.
And he's sitting there for, I mean, probably 45 minutes in negative degree weather, waiting to perform the most important snap of his life in double overtime. And that's when Harbaugh is like, "Hey, go out there and save our season."
Kick is on its way, and it looks good. The Baltimore Ravens have come into Denver and reached the AFC Championship game for the second straight year, for the third time in 5 years under John Harbaugh.
So by Morgan's accounting then, Dave, how close did those Baltimore Ravens come from having their whole Super Bowl run just derailed?
I love the way he put this whole thing and this position and this skill into perspective by sort of working back from Justin Tucker's 47-yard game-winning kick in double overtime. And now you understand why he's obsessed with hand moisturizer and how many times the ball rotates and how fast the ball's got to go and how much time they have. Because if you rewatch that kick, the kick that really changed the Ravens franchise, it led to a Super Bowl. That was Ray Lewis's swan song. I mean, you're talking about league and career altering kicks. If you watch that kick, as Morgan explains, they did not have an extra tenth of a second. If the snap had been errant, or if it hadn't rotated the right way, or if it hadn't gone perfectly, even though he's covered in ice, the Ravens don't win that game. They don't win the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning's, his career looks completely different. So it is sort of league changing what he does.
All right, Flem, after the break, I need you to tell me what it was like when you yourself stared down the barrel of an all-pro long snapper.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Flem, right now, Morgan Cox is preparing for a postseason run with the number one seeded Tennessee Titans. And at this point, I am now fully realizing there is an insane amount of pressure on this man as he looks upside down at the rest of the bracket in the AFC. How does he handle the pressure here?
What I love is I feel like we've changed the way people are going to watch this game because I'm now rooting, understanding the pressure that they're under. I feel like me and many other fans are going to be watching these games, rooting for the long snapper and Morgan Cox especially to do well. But I don't feel like he needs too much help. He has a sort of a mantra that he says before he even steps on the field to snap. And it's cool. He referenced that Kevin Costner baseball pitchers movie. I think it's called the For the Love of the Game.
If you remember the movie with Kevin Costner, it's almost like you're trying to clear the mechanism.
Clear the mechanism.
You're like, you're trying to just make everything go silent.
And he even mentioned too, right, that the way he snaps the ball, his arms go over the ear holes of his helmet, so it blocks out sound. He blocks out all the mental stuff, and he just kind of goes to that zone where he's done it a million times. He just has to do it a million and one times.
You know, it's funny that he mentions For the Love of the Game because the movie, the only movie I've ever associated with long snapping, is Ace Ventura.
Morgan and I, you could tell we were kindred spirits because it took both of us like 8 seconds before we referenced Laces Out, Dan.
Yes.
It was all that Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had held the ball laces out like he's supposed to, Ray would never have missed that kick.
The fictitious place kicker, Ray Finkel, he goes crazy and turns to a life of crime because of a botched field goal for the Miami Dolphins that he blames on Dan Marino for not putting the laces out or at 12 o'clock, as we know.
Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Would you like a cookie, son?
What do you know? They're little footballs.
Laces out.
And Morgan Cox sees that movie and he goes, I kind of blame it on the long snap.
So what does it look like, Dave, when the long snapper doesn't do his job? Like, I imagine that is incredibly traumatic in real life also.
These guys have to be perfect. The standard is perfection. And I think what happens to long snappers is eventually they just can't do it anymore. They can't be perfect after sitting on the bench for 20 minutes. They can't be perfect knowing that 100 million people are watching. I think just mentally they wear down. You could probably long snap until you're 80, right? But it's mentally where these guys go sideways. And I think in particular, a guy I referenced with Morgan was the long snapper for the Cincinnati Bengals, who in 2009, he had snapped for 10 years and been great and sort of was a star in Cincinnati. And then one day, like a golfer who can't swing the club anymore, he just couldn't do it and literally was out of the league within weeks.
But in defense of former Bengals long snapper Brad St. Louis, who was cut in 2009 after this 10-year career, as you just said, it feels like no one, like, should be expected to handle this job particularly well.
The only people currently that really appreciate long snappers are you and I, Bill Belichick, and backup long snappers.
But hold on here, because the whole can you snap, can you snap, can you snap, like panic, it does raise the question, Flem, as our resident George Plimpton, did you yourself try and find out like how hard it is to be a part of this process?
Oh, of course.
They pay me to do this. I can't believe this.
Yeah. You put your left hand down and then your right hand comes up and you just kind of open your hand.
Okay.
And then I'll do the rest.
So he took us onto the field and then he set me up as his holder on a field goal attempt.
All right, we'll see how this goes.
And he's like, I'm a little worried about like hitting your face or breaking your finger. And I'm like, dude, bring it. I want the full, I want 35 miles an hour or more.
Oh, there we go. I saw it. If you had caught it, then it would have been laces out. It would have been laces out.
I'm so happy to report that he put me in position. I had my hands out. I had to give the, you know, you flash your fingers for the snap.
Let's see.
He sent it 35 miles an hour.
Look, I might get a tryout out of this. Oh, that is so cool.
And you laces out. See?
Dude, and look at that.
You caught the ball exactly like I would want to catch it. Okay. So what you would do from here is you start to put the ball down on the spot. You put your left hand on the top of the ball, and then you'd pull your right hand away, and the ball is tilted just like however the kicker would want it, and he'd come through and kick it.
Wow.
And I don't know who was more surprised, Morgan or I, that I actually pulled that off. I got to tell you, too, when you catch it, that's when you realize how slick the K-balls are, too. I was like, this is unfair that this position even exists and that they put you under these parameters.
Dave Fleming, thank you as always for your steady hands and for changing the way I'm going to watch the NFL playoffs this weekend.
Thanks as always, Pablo. And I just have one thing to say to you. Laces out, Pablo. Laces out.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.